I'll try to keep things brief, simple, and who knows, we might even end up a lot earlier than the schedule shows. I hate to tell this story without seeing Rob Powery Smith here, but the English, I've been living over in Britain for some years, and the British people are very interesting people. Of course, they are composed of four primary groups, the Irish, the Welsh, the English, and the Scot. And there was this Irishman, Welshman, Englishman, and Scotsman who were attending a funeral of a very beloved friend of theirs. And they were all standing up, looking at the open casket, seeing their dear friend for the last time. And the Irish are a little more emotional than the rest of the British. And the Irishman, tears began to roll down his cheeks. And he said, "I've got to do some last thing for my dear departed friend." So he took out a 5-pound note. He put it on the man's chest. And he said, I at least can do this." The Welshman standing there next to him thought, can't let the Irish outdo me. So he took out a 5-pound note and put it on the dead man's chest. And the Englishman, knowing that he is superior to all the rest of the British, and being a bit conservative and knowing this is highly irregular, as they would say, yet he must, for the glory of the English, do something. So he took out a 5-pound note, put it on the man's chest. And the Scotsman, he looked there and he thought, "Oh no, what in the world am I going to do?" All of a sudden he got the idea and he took out his checkbook, wrote a check for 20 pounds, put it on the man's chest, took the 15 pounds in his pocket, left. This afternoon, I want basically to share four things with you. One is to give a very brief report concerning the work in Emma. And in that report, I would like to share an illustration that we've been working on in our part of the world to try to depict the principles used in a NAV ministry, more or less a philosophy of the NAV ministry. And then, secondly, I would like to share with you some of the plans that we have in the up to the mid-70s. So you get a little idea of the direction in which we're moving, the scope of the work. And then, thirdly, I would like to have you ask any questions that you would like to ask concerning the work over there or some of the things that we have said, some of the people, some of the situations that maybe we didn't refer to, but you're interested in. You would like to ask some questions. And then lastly, I would like to just share a few thoughts from the Word with you on the person of Christ and the dynamic he used in making disciples. So that's kind of the outline. We'll get into it. First of all, the report. Instead of just giving a report, I thought I would tie it in to illustrate this illustration. We have illustrations in the Navigators. As you're well aware of, we have the bridge, which we use in evangelism. Very simple, graphic illustration, primarily for the lost or for young Christians who are trying to learn how to witness and lead others to Christ for the first time. We have the wheel illustration. And this is primarily used in another phase and growth of a work, and that has to do primarily with disciple making. We use it to make disciples, to depict what is involved in what we would call a nav disciple. And I presume you've been going over the profiles of a nav disciple, which is summarized basically, at least in the wheel. Now we're trying to work on a illustration that would depict the nav ministry. What do you say when someone says, well, what do you do in the Navigators? How would you describe your ministry? Where do you fit into the body of Christ? Things along this line. Time doesn't permit to go into all of the aspects of the illustration I want to show you, but it has primarily to do with the philosophy of the NAB ministry as we see it in Emma. Now, you're only about the fourth group I've ever shared this with. It's new. It's in a formulative stage, so you feel free to ask any questions, shoot it down, give any suggestions you want. We were discussing this in January with the regional directors, and we're working a little bit on it. And after that, I went home and I thought, well, I'll talk to my boy, my 13-year-old boy, and get some ideas from him, seeing he is interested in our work. And I was thinking of an illustration that would depict kind of a chain reaction, an atomic explosion, nuclear type of reaction. And he was studying chemistry, so I thought, well, maybe he can help me out. So I started talking to him about this. He thought for a minute, and he said, Dad, he said, I don't think that's a very good illustration. I said, well, why? Doesn't it show multiplication? Doesn't it show some, you know, something with dynamic and motion and impact and movement and so on? He said, yes, Dad, but after you've had that nuclear reaction, you've had it. You've expended everything. It's not creative. It's not living. It's not continuous. And I thought for a moment, and I said, you're right. Well, is there some kind of a cell that's living, reproductive, continuous? And then we struck on the idea of a living, reproductive cell. The smallest unit of life. And something that is in every body. And in Ephesians 4:12, it says, equipping the saints that they should do the work of the ministry toward building up of Christ's body. And there are all types of these living reproductive cells in a body. And they're used for various functions. And I'm thinking of it in the simplest form, just a simple, living, reproductive cell. And we read on in Ephesians 4:16 that the body is to make the increase, or these saints working in the body are to make an increase of the body into the building up of itself in love. So, I'm thinking of a living reproductive cell, which equips, which builds, which reproduces, which increases in the mystical body of Christ around the world. Now, let me illustrate. Somebody said, are you taking up art? No, I'm not. Somebody said, is this a size notebook that you have in Emma now? I said, yes, we're doing everything bigger and better than ever before. But that's really the joke. Well, let's just take a look at this living reproductive cell for just a moment. I don't know if you can all see this. Yeah, would you hold it, Bob? Thank you. Now, can you see that over there? Why don't you stand right out, right here, Bob? That'll be just fine. Now, a cell has in its center what is called a nucleus. A nucleus. And those scientists can take a living cell and they can figure out the chemistry of that cell. And they can reproduce the chemistry. They cannot reproduce the life. And the life is found in the nucleus. Now the nucleus assimilates the food in the cell, provides the growth of the cell. It excretes the waste matter in the cell. It reproduces the cell. It is the nucleus that provides the heredity, the genes, the chromosomes for this extra cell. It is the nucleus that provides the motion of the cell in the body. Now, what is a NAV reproductive cell? Well, I like to think of the Holy Spirit as the nucleus. He is the secret of life and vitality. He is the giver and sustainer of life. He is the one who causes the word to be assimilated in the life for growth. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who convicts of sin and cleanses the body. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who gives reproduction. He makes disciples through you, through me. He reproduces. He is the giver of gifts that makes a man what God has intended him to be. He is the one who provides the motion, the movement. Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I have called them. He is the one who directs the ministry and the individual servants. The Holy Spirit. Now, as I've said before, scientists can produce the chemistry, they cannot produce the life. You and I can produce the chemistry of a NAV reproductive cell. But only the Holy Spirit can produce the life. Now I think of the A, B, C, D as the chemistry in a NAV reproductive cell. It stands for principles upon which our ministry is based and function. Take one of these principles out, the cell is not complete. A, aggressive evangelism. This is a principle that must be exercised in any reproductive cell. Aggressive evangelism. B, Bible-based ministry and fellowship. Bible-based ministry and fellowship. Our ministry is based on the promises of God. Our ministry is based on the Word of God. We do not have anything to share and to give if it does not have biblical content and vitality. And Bible-based fellowship. Our fellowship and co-laborship together is based around the Word of God. C. The Christ centered life. The cell is not just a ministry. It is a life. It is a life around the person of Jesus Christ. It is a life which the Holy Spirit brings, the fruit of the Spirit, or the virtues and characteristic of Christ in our life. The wheel, the Christ-centered life. D, disciple-making. This is the objective of the navigators, disciple-making. The results of this cell in function should result in disciples made. And then R, reproduction. This is the vision, reproduction. Now this cell functions with two or more men who are under the subjection and submission of the Holy Spirit to aggressive evangelism, a Bible-based ministry and fellowship, a Christ-centered life, and disciple-making. And their vision is to see this reproduce itself throughout the body of Christ around the world. Now, this isn't the type of thing that you explain to anybody. This is something we're explaining primarily to our team members and team leaders. Now, Bob, why don't you take a rest for a minute and we'll come back to this. You know as many Bible verses on these principles and illustrations as I do, I'm sure. But in my report, let me just give a brief report on some of these principles in action in Emma. Aggressive evangelism. I think that this last year or year and a half, we have seen more fruit, more of God's blessing in Emma than ever before. In the Middle East, we've seen a breakthrough in evangelism at the American University of Beirut. This last autumn, Bob Vedano set up an evangelistic coffee bar. And there's where they saw their breakthrough in fruit through this project. But since January, they've been seeing steadily people coming to Christ, one after another, just through the witness and the normal ministry of evangelism on that campus. I think most of you are aware of Nabil, who lives up in Tripoli, in northern Lebanon. And last year, I think there were 30-some who came to Christ through his ministry at this boys' school. Well, this year, God is continuing to bless. When I was there 2 months ago, there were 28 this year who have come to Christ. And quite a few Muslims. When I say quite a few, probably around 4. Now, this creates a problem because this is a Presbyterian boys' school and the majority of the students are Muslim, or at least a good number. And their parents pay for them to go to this school. Now, if they're going to be Christianized in this school, there may be a little holy war that will break out. And things are a bit tense over there anyway, as maybe you know. So the principal called Nabil in and he said, "You cannot witness to the Muslims anymore. I forbid it. You're a teacher here. You're a member of this institution. And it's going to cause too much trouble. You cannot witness to Muslims anymore." What would you do? Well, Nabil said, "All right, I won't." So he got his band of men together, which is quite a large band now. They had a little prayer meeting about this, and the fellows decided, well, if Nabil can't witness to them, we can. So they've entered into a stage now where the young Christians there are busily witnessing to Muslims. We've seen a breakthrough. We consider it a breakthrough in Aachen, Germany, where Gordy Strong and quite a few German fellows who've moved there to team with Gordy have been out regularly in evangelism among the students of the technical university there. I'm not sure how many have come to Christ up to this time, but 15 to 20, I believe. And they are in touch with over 100 fellows that they can go on a friendship basis and sit down and talk to them about Christ anytime they've got the time to do it. And it's really thrilling to see what God's doing there. Just last month, I was in Gordy's home, and the home was filled with young German fellows. We had a little gospel do there, and I had the joy of leading one of these students to Christ that night. And just thrilling to see how God is prospering the work there, and most all of the converts are sticking. So we're encouraged. In the Netherlands, Herk Dorneval is a gifted evangelist. And they've had over 50 come to the Lord so far this year. They have a noon gospel meeting there at Delft University. They get around 100 out. And they just bring their lunches, and Herk or one of the guys will give a short gospel presentation, and then they'll sit around and talk about Christ the rest of the noon hour. I was in their Sunday night rally, which they have. I think it's weekly or fortnightly. I think you all know what fortnightly is now with Rob here. It's every 2 weeks. And they had about 180 out the night I was there. And they sing for about 45 minutes. And these old staid Dutchmen, John, you should hear them sing. They're the best gospel singers. They hooted up there. Man, they love the gospel music. And then somebody stands up, Herod or one of the key guys, and opens the word, and then they have coffee and sit around and talk. The night I was there, there was one fellow who accepted the Lord. One of the Dutch fellows led him to Christ over a cup of coffee. And they have about 80 fellows in Bible study there at Delft University now. These are Christians. And it's thrilling to see what God is doing. In Utrecht, the work is younger, but they have around 50 in Bible study, and they have quite an evangelistic outreach there. And in Groningen, which is a work about a year and a half old and a contact point, they have around 40 fellows in Bible study there, and quite a bit of fruit. I would say at least half of them or more are converts from the ministry there. This last year in Britain, we've seen over twice as many come to Christ as the previous year, or about twice as many. I'm not sure of the exact figures. And it's thrilling to see the evangelistic climate that is being created in some of these cells. A real evangelistic climate. Mike King is a fellow who's an enthusiast. And he just creates, he works at Lloyd's of London, and he just creates an evangelistic climate. James Broad, his right-hand man, fellow that Rob helped recruit, was getting married. So the fellows got together and they prayed, "Well, Lord, we're asking you for one soul during this wedding." And so they led a policeman to Christ during the reception, who was, you know, out there watching the traffic and taking care of a very large wedding. And these fellows have a uninhibited freedom of speech to share Christ. One of the key fellows in Manchester, a fellow by the name of Bernie Marks, a little Jewish fellow. Bernie has usually been our skit man. He is really quite an actor. And for some years, we wondered, you know, that maybe that's all Bernie could do, was be in skits. But Bernie has really blossomed out in the last year or two. And he was going to get a couple days alone with the Lord over Christmas vacation this last year. And there was First of all, it was a crowd. He went to Blackpool, which is a resort. It's a very crowded area during holidays. And it was hard to find a hotel, but he finally found one. The hotel was so crowded that he was asked if he would mind sharing a table with another guest. So he said, all right. So he went there and he sat down next to this young man he had never seen before. And the man, they started chatting. The fellow said, what are you doing here? Bernie said, well, I've just come to get a couple days alone with God. Well, he had never heard anything like that before, so he started to ask some questions, and Bernie gave his testimony, and pretty soon on a napkin he was drawing the bridge illustration and giving some verses. And the fellow asked him if he would come over to where he was working that afternoon and talk to him some more, and he did. As a result, this fellow came to Christ, reading the scriptures over the bridge by himself, alone in his room. This fellow was James Fox, a movie star who played the leading role opposite Julie Andrews in Thoroughly Modern Millie. This fellow has been growing steadily over the last 3-4 months. He's living with Raj Anderson this month for training. And it's really thrilling. He's led some fellows to Christ. He got Dora Bryan, another movie television star in Britain, on the TMS. And she's written John Lennon telling him that Christ is the answer. She used to go around with the Beatles. They went to India together to try to find reality with this fellow, I forget his name, in India and all the rest. And it's really thrilling. James brought Roger just last week over to one of the producers, film producers. And he and Raj gave their testimony to this film producer in London. Now, James is having some tough decisions to make. His father is an agent for Vanessa Redgrave, for example, and many of the top movie stars. And his father wants him, you know, to be in this film on homosexuals or in that film on a renegade priest who gets in all kinds of trouble with women and liquor and all the rest. And he's got to turn down these films, and he needs our prayers. But he's really following Christ. It's thrilling. Aggressive evangelism. Things are breaking loose down in Nairobi. They had a little coffee bar last fall. Bob Vedano went down there. You can imagine seeing Vedano in the halls teamed together in a coffee bar. Well, it really went over. But here again, the same thing is beginning to happen now. These Africans are now, during these last months, leading to people to Christ in a more natural situation. And a recent letter from Jim said we've had quite a breakthrough recently with young converts. And would it be all right if Dave came down after staff conference instead of to staff conference, because we have so much follow-up to do. So he's not coming to staff conference. That's thrilling. It's a good reason not to come. Bible-based ministry and fellowship. I don't know if you've heard the testimony from Rob on how the ministry got started there in Loughborough. But really, I think it really started when, up on a hill overlooking the city, he and George Howard and Charles Clayton just started claiming some promises and stepping out on those promises. And this is one of our big guns, the Bible. Depth in the Word. Basing your life and ministry on the Word. I think some of our guys may do it to a bit of an extreme. Bernie Dodd up in Manchester, team leader, and had the responsibility for a complex of dormitories. Bernie's getting his doctorate at Manchester University. Next year he'll be with Rob in Birmingham. Bernie was saying, well, how can we get into these dormitories? They have a guard at each door. You can't go in unless a student invites you in. We don't have any inside men. And so he's reading the Bible, and God spoke to him concerning the portion in Joshua about Jericho. He said, now, Lord, do you really mean you want me to walk around these dormitories like they did in Jericho? Now, that's ridiculous. I mean, here's a guy who's getting his doctor's degree this year. Well, Lord, Okay. Boy, I sure hope I don't have to share it with anybody. And then the Lord puts it on his heart, you've got to share it. Okay, I'll share it with a few of my key guys. That's not enough. Joshua shared it with everyone. So he shared it with the whole gang. And so those who were going to team with him, and that every morning they got up, I forget the passage, I think at dawn or before dawn, they walked around. One morning they all just walked around, stood there and prayed. The next morning they walked around, stood there and prayed. The last morning, seven times they walked around and prayed. And the next week, six conversions, one man, key inside man at each one of the dormitories. Well, maybe that's to an extreme, but God honored it. There's something else about a Bible-based ministry and fellowship. And that is that we have a fellowship around the Word that is very precious. And sometimes, maybe we take it for granted in the Navs. But I meet fellows who've been with the Navigators and are now working with other Christian groups. Fine men. Whenever we get together, they say, oh boy, it's great to share around the Word. And they start sharing about some verse God has been speaking to their own life about. We kind of get into a little holy huddle, and there we are. The fellows from the other, from this organization who come around, man, these Navigators, every time they get together, boom, there they are. You know, what is this? Well, it's a fact that we are applying the Word of God to our lives. And we need that kind of fellowship. And it is a rare, rare thing. Let's not neglect it. Let's not take it for granted. Christ-centered life. I want to share just a couple verses. Isaiah 9:3. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. I was a missionary out in Formosa. God had given me some promises. I'd claim them. I was believing God for 100,000 in the Word. We had over 100,000 at this time. We had 100 people who were in what we called man-to-man. God was giving fruit every week. Aggressive evangelism. People were growing. And we were rejoicing. But we were rejoicing according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. And at the very best, the joy of harvest is second rate. And God spoke to my heart. What am I rejoicing in? The ministry? The results? The tremendous prospects for the future? Or am I rejoicing in the Lord? Is Christ my joy and my strength? And the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, I'm not your joy. My work is your joy. And then, over in Habakkuk. Can't pronounce it. I don't know if I can find it. Habakkuk 3:17-19. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. A year and a half ago, I was in Singapore, and I met Jimmy Choo's father for the first time. When you meet him, you feel you're having a meeting with God, because God radiates in that man's life. He's a man that carries a tremendous load, a blistering schedule, but always seems relaxed and full of spiritual vitality. And I looked at him and I couldn't help but covet. And I said, Dr. Chu, what is the secret to this? And he looked at me and smiled and he said, quoting out of Nehemiah 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The reality of Christ in your life. Gang, there's nothing more precious than this. There's nothing more important than Jesus Christ. Everything else has to be second. He must have preeminence in your life and in mine. You know, I was in Sweden just a few weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. And I met a very handsome, tremendous young Swedish businessman. He's just been converted about within the last year. Tom Heeb happened to be going through Stockholm on his way to Finland, and Tom spent a couple hours with him. And you know, the Swedes, they're affluent, intellectual, self-sufficient, and it's really hard, you know, to kind of crack the Swede. Bob could tell you. He was trying to jar one when he was over there witnessing some years ago. And you see, their philosophy of life, all we are is a higher grade animal. So Bob was trying to shake this guy. And he says, well, then you're really nothing more than a cow. Yeah, that's right. I'm just like a cow, except I have a higher IQ. Didn't faze him. But you know what phases people? Regardless of what their background is when they get in touch with a person who Christ is magnified in their life. They sense the reality of Christ in that man's life. I was talking to this Swede. He was saying, man, you know, I got an hour or two with Tom Heap. I'll never forget. I've never met anyone who loved God like he loves God. Who believes God like he believes God. Who experiences God. Man, I want to be like him. See, Christ-centered life. And then D, disciple-making, the objective of the navigators. Result of this cell should be other disciples filled, controlled by the Holy Spirit with these principles under his direction and dynamic being applied. R. Reproduction of nav disciples. Of disciple makers. And of course the key to this is the leader of each cell. Leadership. Leaders of disciple makers, you might say. The key is leadership. Not just disciples, not just disciple makers, but leaders to lead and stimulate this ministry under the Spirit of God. Well, this is the illustration and a brief report of some of the things that are going on. I would like to quickly go through the plans, and we'll have a break, and then we'll have the next hour for questions. And if we don't take the whole hour for questions, then I'll share something from the Word and we'll wind it up. If you want to take the whole hour and the next hour for questions, we'll do that. Up to you. 1970 to 1973. These are some of the plans or the objectives. Two sending countries. That's stage two. England, Holland. Three countries that have completed stage one. Now, I don't know if that was described to you, but that is at least 100 NAV disciples, 25 to 30 disciple makers, and four PARs. Three countries will have completed that and be ready to move into stage two by that time. And those countries are the Lebanon, Sweden, and Norway. This is our objective. Thirdly, national leadership. We're thinking in terms of several men taking major responsibilities in our leadership in EMMA. We, during this time, will have 12 new representatives, Europeans or Arabs, plus 19 new contact staff. These will be Europeans. We're asking for approximately 8 Americans during this period of time to come and join the work in EMMA. In our disciple making, we now have a working force of approximately 700. That would be NAV disciples, disciple makers, or leaders of disciple makers. And we're asking God to triple that during this period of time to approximately 2,200. We have more than doubled our work in the last 3 years, and we're asking God in the next three to triple it. That would mean about 1,700 NAV disciples and 500 disciple makers. That 500 is a pretty ambitious figure. But this is what we're shooting for. And we've tried to look at it with the eyes of faith and also with some realistic thinking. To help us do this, this summer we're having a Leader of Disciple Makers seminar where we're having our entire staff in EMMA plus the men who we would consider are already more than team leaders they're just about ready to get into their contact staff experience, or we're grooming them for what we call a leader of disciple makers. Now, a leader of disciple makers, if I can illustrate it up here, is a type of man who can give leadership to disciple makers, to NAV disciples, to young disciples, to converts, and to the lost. So he's a man that we're trying to develop to be able to give leadership right through all these stratas of spiritual growth and development and ministry. A man who can do this is a Navigator representative. So we're starting out with our top leadership throughout Emma coming in July. And Jack Mayhoe will be with us. Lauren will spend a day or two. And we'll be working with them on this type of ministry as well as plans for their ministry for the coming year or two. Setting the stage for what we call a disciple makers making congress. Disciple making congress. Those who come to this from all over Europe. We won't include the Middle East or Africa because of the distances and the costs involved. But throughout Europe, those who come to this are in the process of making a disciple. They have a bird in hand, so to speak. And he is eagerly eating the seed in their hand. Or at least he's picking at it. And so the entire autumn will be geared not to, I've got to be a disciple maker to come, but I've got to be making a disciple. It'll be geared to a thrust in ministry, not to a self-evaluation. And we're asking God to bring 700 out to this. Then in the spring, we'll have our discipleship conferences out in the countries and the regions and the areas. And we're hoping to have a total of around 2,500 coming out to that. So that next year, we hope to have pretty much underway the disciple-making thrust and the contacts to reach this objective a year or two later. We're beginning what we call a Go ministry with Denny Repko next fall. Roy Rimmer, who was a contact point in Reading, has just signed up, so to speak, with Bishop Goodwin Hudson, who has had a nice new church built in the heart of London in the business area, not the city of London, Lloyd's area, but the other big business area of London, and tremendous facilities. Roy is going to be his assistant pastor, or they call curate, and he will be working with the businessmen and the young single working people in that area. And Denny will be available, of course, to help Roy in this. Ed has other fine contacts in Britain people who are, they have disciples, maybe not geared into our student ministry, or Christian leaders and so on. So we'll be getting with a major in Britain in the Go ministry this next year and then see it grow out from there. Missionary advance is the sixth thing. There are six countries we'll be moving into, we hope, during this three-year period. Tom Hebe is already on his way to Finland. He has the apartment. Furniture, we hope, has arrived. And he and Nancy are moving with little Jonathan over there next week. And we're thrilled that the Lapalas are coming to join us. And God has already given several Finns, young converts, to work with there. Spain, next month, Jack Blanch and family will be moving to Spain, to Madrid. We're asking for a couple to join them in 1971 from the United States, and then in 1972, another couple either from the United States or Europe. The third country is Uganda. Well, let's see. No. Yes, the third country is Uganda. We're asking for a couple in 1971 from the United States, another couple to join them from the United States or Europe in 1972. France, Gordy Nordstrom will be moving in 1972. He just last month took a team of nine to Caen, I don't know how you pronounce it, Caen probably, or something like that, in northern France. And there have been 10 who've come to Christ as a result of that missionary thrust. Now, for in France, this is really something. We've had a good number of missionary thrusts before, but we've never had the reaping like this. And several of these 10 came to Christ after they left. And we're asking for a couple to join Gordy from the U.S. or Europe in 1972. The fifth country is Iran. Nate Mirza has just finished a initial survey. We have a lot more reconnaissance work to do there. And so far, he has not discovered anyone or any group that is working full-time with university students in that entire nation. The young people do not respond to the established religion or the establishment. Religious establishment, whether it's a small Christian minority or whether it is the Muslim, large Muslim majority. And there's one university there he's discovered which has a exchange student program with Penn. Not sure if it's Penn State, University of Pennsylvania and Kent State. And all the classes in that university of several thousand, which will grow to about 8,000, are in English. And the Shah has taken personal interest, and it is the university campus, so to speak, in the country. Also, they're establishing high schools in English to feed students into that university and that community. The Anglicans are down there. There are people who really love the Lord. Anglicans are Episcopalians. And from the Church of England. And that's a good possibility, but we have a lot more recon to do. Now, what we're doing in some of these moves, in a good number of these moves, we're moving out some of our experienced American staff out of Great Britain into new countries. And then the British that God is raising up will be taking their place primarily. The last place, and then we'll have our break, is Eastern Europe. Dr. Horak, who is a Christian leader, Baptist Christian leader in Yugoslavia, and also is quite a renowned Christian leader in Eastern Europe, has invited the NABs to send a couple as soon as possible to the University of Zagreb. He's been greatly impressed through Ed Rice's ministry, training counselors and sharing the NAB vision. There is another young fellow, Johnny Vacek, who was Ed's interpreter, who's a university student there at Zagreb. And he really wants help, and he's got about six other Christian friends who he thinks are very recruitable. And a couple could go there for the first year and learn the Slavic language. The next year or two, they could study the Slavic culture, then they would have to leave. By that time, we could probably have recruited some Yugoslav young people to come to Britain for further training. This couple then would move to Austria. There's another town called Graz, G-R-A-Z, 100 miles from Zagreb, which has approximately 11,000 students, 6,000 in a university, over 4,000 in a technical university. Hundreds of students from the east go there to study. So we're thinking of having another couple, say if this couple could come as early as the fall of 1970, and there are reasons for this. You can ask me later if you wish. Spend 3 years and then move to Austria. The other couple come in 71, study German for a couple years. In 73, join this other couple in Graz and begin a NAB area ministry among students. The German-speaking couple could go into East Germany and Hungary, which German is a second language. The Slavic-speaking couple would work with Slavic-speaking students, of which we understand there is an abundance in Graz, as well as move into the Slavic-speaking countries of Eastern Europe. They can follow the students up, they can recruit students to come to Graz, and so forth. And they have the pilot model right there, so that when people come into this situation, they see and experience what's going on. This would be our underneath approach into Eastern Europe, and then from the north, we have thought of thrusts into Poland and eventually Russia from Finland and Scandinavia. Okay, we'll take a break.